This episode of the Everything Matters podcast is brought to you by BeLegendary.coach, where we transform leaders into legends. Are you a senior leader, entrepreneur, or executive looking to take your leadership to the next level? Are you dealing with things such as imposter syndrome, concerns with whether or not your leadership is lingering long after you've completed FaceTime, looking for new and innovative ways to connect with your team and to gain buy-in from stakeholders that you deal with on a daily basis? If any of this sounds like something that you're dealing with and you would like to take your leadership to an extraordinary level, your effectiveness to a legendary level, visit BeLegendary.coach. That's www.BeLegendary.coach and schedule your free performance analysis today. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the next episode. That's episode 30. One of the Everything Matters podcast. Hey, if you're loving and finding value in the content, please consider subscribing to the channel, follow us on social media, liking the content, and commenting on the content. This lets us know how we're doing. Sharing it would actually be icing on the cake for us. This helps to expand our reach and ensures that these inspiring stories that people are sharing with us are able to land inside of the ears of the masses, causing the positive impact that we intended for this podcast from the very beginning. So, you've probably heard of a guy named Vince Reed before, and it's likely that you've either seen him running through your IG feed, perhaps, on some cool and creative ad that he's running at the time. Vince is a pioneer in the digital marketing arena. Before the real estate crash of 2008, Vince was making a living as a loan broker, originating mortgage loans. Then, like it did for so many of us in this industry, including myself, the bottom fell completely out. This forced Vince to have to find a way to reinvent himself, his life, and his career. He stumbled into the emerging world of internet marketing, which no one really knew what it was at the time, and he immersed himself in it completely. Vince saw what was coming, and he wanted to be standing right in the wake of it all. He would ultimately go on to write books and be featured as keynote speaker and subject matter expert for digital marketing and lead generation events around the world. Vince recently developed a groundbreaking software called eBoov. eBoov leverages what Vince calls IVC, or in-video conversion technology, that empowers businesses to convert leads at a significantly higher clip, up to 40 to 50x times what's typical. I'm absolutely thrilled to feature Vince Reed on this episode of the Everything Matters podcast. Get ready for a ton of value. Business owners, entrepreneurs, marketers, listen up. Vince, let's get it popping, my guy. Vince, welcome to the Everything Matters podcast. Man, it's so great to have you on the show. I really appreciate you taking time out of your super busy schedule. I'm seeing you all over social media, man. Every time I scroll through something, I'm seeing one of your ads. So I know you're super busy, man. So I appreciate you hopping on the show with me today, man.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Well, hey, Vince, let's jump right in, man. You know, I think you're a West Coast guy. Is that correct? Are you from Cali, somewhere like West Coast like
That's
that?
That's me. Where are you from? I am a West Coast guy.
Southern California, or Northern California.
I'm from Southern Central. California. From Southern California.
Awesome, yep. Man. Awesome. And I also see, Vince, that you, I've watched some of your videos and everything, man, and watched your story, your biography. I think it's very inspiring, man. I see a lot of similarities in you that I see in myself, and that you really are a servant leader, man. You really are committed to helping people. So I want to dive into that a little bit more. One of the other things that intrigued me about you is that you're a former athlete, which is myself am as well. I played at Northwestern State University, led it 4 years, and I know you played at Colorado University. What position did you play over there, man? I see you.
I came in as a safety, but I played running back. I was a running back in high school. It was reversed. I was a running back safety in high school, but when I got to college, they brought me in as a safety, and then I ended up switching back to running back.
Gotcha. And what was the college experience like for you, man? I know I made some great friends, great connections during that time. What was it like for you playing ball over there?
It was the best time of my life, man. Loved college experience. I know a lot of people don't believe in the whole college thing. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Best time of your life. I think everybody should experience college.
Dig it, man. Totally agree with you. Totally agree. It's a great, great, great move. Now, I got to ask you this question. You know, who's coaching over there at your alma mater? Prime, Coach Prime. So what are your thoughts about Coach Prime being over there? And what do you think about what he's doing and the differences he's making over there and with the young men?
I'm excited. Everybody, all my former teammates, they're already like, hey, we got to go back out. I mean, it's been rough. You know, when I left, we were still good. I mean, right. Colorado, I went there because we were a powerhouse. When I went there, you know, they had just won a couple national championships.
Right.
And, you know, to see where they are today is crazy. So to see them on the way back up is it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you and I talked about a little bit off camera about a sort of a connection. I played against Mickey Joseph. Vance Joseph was a little bit behind me, but I played against Mick. And I know that you said Vance was one of the assistants when you were there. So that's a pretty cool connection there as well. What was he like as a coach?
He was a grad assistant. He wasn't on the staff yet.
Okay.
So now he's doing big things. But yeah, I love Coach VJ. He was one of my favorite guys there.
That's awesome, man. Awesome. Well, Vince, man, I want to dive right into some of the things you're doing, man. So, you know, I know that you're a digital. Well, you know, let me ask you this question. What did you major in? You know, end up in marketing right now, digital marketing. What did you major in at Colorado? What did you study?
Communications.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually started off my freshman year. I was a political science major. And, you know, until I realized that they were grading on a curve, and I never studied so hard in my life, and I was still damn near failing the class. I'm like, this is crazy.
Right.
I'm like, I need to do something else. So I switched over to communications.
Okay. And it served you well, it seems, man. So I know just reading through your biography, Vince, that you you had a career in real estate. And then I don't know if it was in mortgages or real estate sales. So was that your first gig out of college, or did you do something prior to getting into real estate or mortgages?
Yeah, so my first gig was working at a bank, making $24,000 a year.
Okay.
I worked at ING Direct.
Okay.
I worked at ING. It was like an online bank. I don't know if you remember.
I remember that.
ING Direct.
Yep.
And, you know, one of my cousins one day came and picked me up for lunch, and he was telling me how he was doing loans and how he made like 17 grand. And I'm like, for the year? He's like, no, for the month. I said, where do I sign up?
Sign up.
And then I quit like a week later. And next thing you know, I was doing mortgages.
Dig it.
So yeah, that's how it happened.
That's awesome, man. So, you know, I know also that you went through this, the crash. I'm guessing it was the 08-09 crash. Was that the one that you were part of when you sort of had to reevaluate everything? Yeah. So
I went through that.
Yeah, I went through that as well. What was that experience like for you on the mortgage side? I was actually selling real estate at the time, working for a home builder. And I know what it was like for me financially and otherwise. What was it like for you, man, going through that whole period?
You know, I always tell everyone the worst time in your life, typically in most people's lives, end up being the best time of their life or the best experience. So at that time, I thought it was the worst thing ever. Lost everything.
Right.
Had to sell my house and give the cars back and all that stuff. And
right.
You know, just kind of humble myself and ended up moving into like a little apartment and just rebuilding. That's where I found digital marketing and everything kind of took off from there.
That's awesome, man. Great segue right into digital marketing. So, you know, Vince, there was, you know, marketing's been around for a long time, right? Sales and marketing have been around probably since the dawn of man. We're all selling something on some level or another, whether we realize it or not, right? So how did you get into marketing in general? And I don't know if you started out in digital marketing per se, if it was regular, you know, non-digital marketing, more analog, and then moved into digital. But digital the first place you got into when it came to marketing? And how did you end up making that transition? I mean, going from mortgages to marketing is kind of like a weird move, some people might think. How'd that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a crazy move. So kind of piggybacking off of that whole worst day of my life being the best day of my life. You know, I lost everything and, you know, it was in pre-foreclosure, you know, down to my last few dollars. I got a call from a guy who was doing FHA loans and he's like, hey, you can do this. You know, I know banks aren't lending, but, you know, you can do FHA loans. They're still getting through. Long story short, got in with them first week, submit all these files, clean approvals. It's like, hey, you're going to make 50 grand. I'm going to be able to save my house.
Ooh.
The day of closing, I get into the office. I get this email from the bank because all the deals were submitted at the same place. They're like, sorry, we can't fund these deals. The day before, I was telling everybody, you know, I'm going to save their house and we're going to docs. Had to call them all back and tell them that wasn't happening.
Wow.
Got cursed at, racial slurs.
Oh, it was just a bad day.
And I remember I was like, I'm done this time for real. Like, I'm done. I packed up all my stuff and I got to the door. And something said, you can't go back and tell your girlfriend or your wife at the time that you're losing everything. And I went back. I went on Craigslist. That's where, at least I thought you went to find a job. Went to the sales section. And there was an ad that said, make money on Google.
Mm.
So, like I said, the worst day of my life was the best day because I clicked on it. Ended up calling that person. Didn't work out with that person. But that led me down the rabbit hole. And that's how I got here. Who knows where I'd be had I not turned around.
Wow. So make money on Google. So what was the ad about? What were you going to be learning to do? How to make, I mean, how would you be making money on Google?
Yeah, so I didn't know. And you're talking to a guy, by the way, that could barely send an attachment on an email. I was not, even though I had done really well on Morgan, I had processors and people helping me. I didn't know. I wasn't a computer person like that. But, you know, I had heard people making money on the internet and, you know, like it sounded better than flipping burgers, right?
Right.
So, so she was selling like an ebook, but she was in direct sales, which is basically like a MLM type company. So the ebook, when I called her, you know, when I looked her up, there was like some scam reviews, right? And when you don't know much about the internet, anything you find, you think is real. So she was telling me she was in direct sales, but I ended up not getting started with her. And I didn't know what she was really offering. I didn't, it was, you know, I was so green.
Right.
But I started doing more research, and everybody I would research, like, when I learned about direct sales, it was like, well, what's direct sales? And then all these direct sales companies would pop up. Then I started researching them. And then everywhere I would search, I kept seeing the same person popping up, kind of how you were saying you're seeing my ads.
Yeah.
Who was teaching, hey, you want to be you know, great at this company? I can teach you how to get leads for it. And that's kind of where the idea. And I saw them doing it. And immediately I saw what they were doing. I'm like, the direct sale thing is interesting, but I want to know how that guy's running the ads. Right. There's got to be another guy like me that lost everything, that saw an ad that said make money on Google, that searched it on the internet.
Right.
How do I get to do what he's that for? So that's kind of how it started turning. Right?
Interesting.
And I remember I called him and it didn't really matter what he was going to charge me. I was going to pay to learn that. Mm-hmm. He promised he'd teach me how to do some Google stuff. And you know, he said, you have to join my direct sales company thing and I'll teach you. How much is that? And I had to spend my last $2,000 to get this thing. I don't even know what it was, just so he could teach me Google ads.
Right. Wow. Amazing story, man.
That's
so what
a story.
I get it. And I remember watching your video on your website and hearing pieces of that story. And, you know, so I'm excited about this interview because I can get maybe some pieces that weren't in that video. So, you know, I'm hearing resilience, right? I mean, willingness to bounce back and also willingness to invest in yourself. Like you're like, hey, I'm on my last dime right now, but I know if I take this $2,000 and I see a lot of what he's doing, if I can master about a third or half what he's doing, I'm going to have some success. And that's what I'm hearing in you. And I would imagine that's probably what drove your success. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one thing I knew, because I had, you know, we didn't really dive too deep into the mortgage thing, but I went from a loan officer to having my own little mortgage net branch operation where I was buying leads. So I would pay 50 bucks per lead for my loan officers. So I remember when the person was teaching me Google and how much it was really costing, like a couple bucks back then for this lead that I was buying for 50 bucks. It didn't take much for me to learn that, hey, I need to learn how to do that.
Right.
Had I known how to do that before the market crashed, I probably, you know, we really wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
The money I would have been making would have been ridiculous. Right.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Absolutely. You know, and I imagine, I mean, you know, starting to see like the margin that you can make on a lead. And also, you know, every company needs leads, right? I mean, every single company needs leads.
Absolutely.
And however you generate those is how you generate them. And you know, so you're known in this industry, you know, on digital marketing and in the DM, as you call your podcast, right? You're known as a lead generation expert. I mean, you've written a book called Internet Traffic and Leads to show people how to actually generate leads themselves. So talk to us real briefly, Vince, about the book and why you wrote the book and what's really, you know, if you could put it in a nice little package with a bow on it, what is the book really about?
Yeah. So, you know, I wrote Internet Traffic and Leads and, you know, I wanted to teach people my overall vision of lead generation and the money and the power is in your list, but the fortune is in the follow-up. Mm. Right. And I kind of compare it to, you know, like imagine, you know, you standing, that's, you know, we both played football, so you can visualize Michigan Stadium, right?
Right.
I think it holds like 100,000 or something like that people, something like that. Imagine standing on the 50-yard line and anytime you want being able to offer and talk and pitch and sell whatever you want to that entire stadium.
Mm.
Do you think there's a percentage of those individuals that would purchase from you? So Internet Traffic and Leads is really focused on list building and understanding that, you know, if you understand what drove that person to provide you with a name and email, and by the way, the name and email is a micro transaction, right? Mm. So people look at it as free, but it's actually really valuable. And the way you can gauge that is just go outside right now, walk up to the first person you know and ask them for their name and email. Don't act like you tried to rob them for their wallet, right? Because that's the, what do you need my name and email for?
Wow.
But you're asking someone online to give you your name and email. It's a micro transaction. Now think about why, if you as the person that's generating that lead know why they came in, they're looking for they're looking to learn lead generation, then you know that you're a business owner. You know they're a business owner.
Right.
Now visualize yourself standing at that 50-yard line with 100,000 people, and you know why they came into that stadium.
Mm.
Okay, so now, so I'll go even a layer deeper. Do you remember the movie Wall Street?
Yeah.
The original?
Yep.
All right, so with Gordon Gekko and, you know, so Gordon Gekko in that movie was very successful because he would take inside information and he could use it to make trades.
Right.
Right. He could take a small piece of information about a CEO getting fired next week and use that to his advantage to make billions. Now, reverse that thought to knowing why those people came in to opting into your list. If you know what they do and what can you do with that information to make offers to make money? So list building to me is your business. Your list is your business. And I still don't think businesses quite understand it.
That's deep, man. That's deep. And I know that what you're doing right now with eBoov, which I want to dive into before we complete here, really leverages that and takes advantage of it. So one of the taglines that I saw, Vince, on your website was it says create your own economy. And it sounds like that's what you're pointing to. If you can really know and understand why someone maybe opted into your list or why someone showed up at your shop, or, you know, what was the emotional thing that motivated them to come in, you can literally create your own economy. And it sounds like that's pretty much what you've done so far. Is that pretty accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's instant distribution. You know, you don't own your social media followers. Okay. You don't own any of that, but you own that list.
Very true.
And it's free. Every time I want to push a button, I can get right into their inbox. Now, I know some people, well, email's dead. Okay. Well, I can also upload that email list to any social media platform and put specific ads right in front of them.
Wow.
Right. So is my email list dead? All right. So there's all the, I can create a custom audience based off that data.
Mm.
So if I have a list of 100,000 people, could I create more of a list of more people like them? So people, they don't really think deep enough to understand the power of list building.
Yeah.
So that's what the book was all about.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And, you know, I was going to ask you that, what your thoughts were about whether or not email was dead. That was one of the questions I had to ask you. And you just answered that question. It is not dead. There's a lot of value in having just a captive audience, so to speak, which is beautiful, right? Vince, man, you've accomplished so much in your career. One of the things that I would imagine you're pretty proud of, and I've seen the plaque in your office for the Two Comma Club, which is a ClickFunnels award that you got. How did you get nominated for that? Well, obviously, amidst $1 million in revenue generated through ClickFunnels. How does someone leverage? Like, well, first of all, let's explain to the audience, for those who might not know what a funnel even is. What's a ClickFunnel? And how did you start to see the value in utilizing such a tool to do what you do in terms of digital marketing?
Yeah. So a funnel is just a process in which you take your leads through. Keep it simple.
Okay.
It's just a process in which you take your leads through, right? So, you know, some people have very elaborate funnels with a lot of things happening. I believe in keeping the funnel as simple as possible, which is what you kind of mentioned with eBoov does.
Yes.
But ClickFunnels, so like this one behind me, obviously, if you're listening, you won't be able to see it. But if you're watching, you'd see it. Is one of them is a 2 Comma Club award, and the other one's a 2 Comma Club X award.
Okay.
And you don't really nominate. You just have to produce. They do the research and they check to see if you made the money. So once you hit 10 million and over in revenue, then you get a 2 Comma Club X award. So if you've driven the traffic through a funnel that's generated that.
Gotcha.
So that's how that works. And I will tell you, that sounds great, but and I'm proud of it. I mean, obviously, but I look at it like this. It's all relative, right? If I were to come into a room with Bill Gates or somebody and told him I had a 2 Comma Club, they'd laugh me out the boardroom, right? So, yeah, I want you to keep that in mind, right? When you think about a funnel and honestly play big, because that's kind of what led to eBoov, and my mindset is to play a lot bigger. But ultimately, it's all math. It's all numbers. It's really not magic. It's math. And any number you want to hit, it's math. And once you break it down and really think of a funnel in that prospect, meaning how many people do I need to hit? Okay. What if I hit this many people, what would I need to say to get them to actually provide me with a name and email without slapping me across the face thinking I'm trying to rob them for their wallet?
Right.
What would make them want to opt in? Because there's a difference between someone opting in out of curiosity and someone opting in out of necessity.
Mm.
And that, again, kind of goes to the eBoov situation. See, most people use funnels. And they're creating these crazy elaborate opt-in pages that are getting leads, but the people aren't opting in out of necessity. They're opting in out of curiosity. And that's why you get the fake data, people opting in, not watching your video. So all the math doesn't work. you're better off getting a higher cost lead of the person that you know what their problem is, that are opting in because they want a true solution to solve it, and then letting the math work in your favor, then you can reach any financial goal that you choose.
Interesting.
So that hopefully explains how you want to think about a funnel.
Yeah, that's dope. I love that explanation. So having the success that you've had using funnels and being able to use them effectively, right? And that's a whole other conversation, I'm sure. And I know that's what you do with your company set up my ads, and you have an ad agency that you do that stuff to help people get effective ad setup and also how to integrate those with an effective funnel. So with all the success that you had, you still saw a space in the market. You saw a need. You saw an opportunity somewhere, and you developed this technology that's called eBoof, right? And I personally am one of your clients, and I utilize the software. It's pretty amazing. I never thought about that, and I never seen it before, and I never actually thought about, wow, that's pretty brilliant. It's a brilliant idea. So how did that come about? Like, what did you see? And you said, dude, something's missing right here. And you were able to fill in that space in the market. Yeah. So talk to us a little about eBoof.
Math.
Simple as that, right?
I saw a mathematical equation that the funnel was not solving.
Mm.
So the average opt-in rate on an opt-in page is 20%. That's not my number. That's based off of a lot of data that's been collected.
Gotcha.
And, you know, that's if you're good. Most people are like 10, 15%. So if the average opt-in rate is 20%, that means for every 100 people I send to that page, 80 of them are leaving, no matter what. No matter what I say in that headline, no matter what ad they see, they're not opting in. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that's happening. One, everybody's using the same funnel. Two, customers are sick of the opt-in page. They know what's going to happen next.
Right.
Three, supply and demand, ad costs going up. There's all these reasons for that.
Right.
And those reasons are not going to change. They're only going to get worse. And I've been very blessed to be in a unique position to where I'm running ads for big, huge clients that are spending millions of dollars a month. Mm-hmm. Plus, I've grown several companies and spending the money on my end. So I can see it from the CEO side and from the agency side.
Right.
And all the problems are always the same. Everybody's dealing with that same problem. How do we get in front of more people?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this question. I was like, well, like, what if we didn't need it? What if we didn't have an opt-in page? What if we could send people directly to the presentation that sells the product?
Right.
And what if once they got interested in it and it was a good spot, I could lock the video and then the person could enter their name and email to continue watching. So basically reverse the entire process. Now, that might sound like something that already exists because I know some video companies have this overlay feature which allow you to like cover the video.
Right.
And I tried that. I tested that for years because trust me, I wouldn't have spent the hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in this technology.
Right.
If it was already there. But that technology, it wasn't mobile friendly, and 95% of traffic comes to mobile. You could actually bypass that that little overlay block. It didn't integrate with all the CRMs and things that people are using.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't track pixels and fire so I could run it with ads. So there was all these things that didn't work.
Right.
So that was when I was like, well, let me build this for myself and see if it works. And we did the prototype and started working, and then the numbers were just crazy. I mean, I turned it on and immediately I doubled lead flow, and I was just so blown away by two things. The ability of a person opting in out of necessity, because they actually wanted to continue watching, took my open rates on the email, and this goes to this email dead, from on average, people are seeing 3 to 10% open rates, to on average, 55%.
Wow.
Now someone's opting in for my video, I'm getting over 50% of people opening up the emails.
Wow.
And 40% of the people clicking on the link.
That's incredible,
man. Because they actually want to continue watching.
Right.
Right. So those two things, when you incorporate those things, whereas if I go, you go look at your big celebrities who have 10, 20 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are watching their videos? I guarantee you it's not 50 to 40%.
No, you're right.
It's probably more like 3 to 5%.
Right.
So you keep saying emails dead. I'll keep using eBoof and using in-video conversion. Campaigns, right? That's awesome. How I look at it.
That's dope, man. I love it. Let's love it.
Yeah.
So you answered that question. So Facebook and IG marketing. I want to talk a little bit about that in terms of, you know, direct marketing and digital marketing. How effective are those? And I know that if you couple that obviously with the technology like eBoof, it probably makes it way more effective. If somebody was starting a company today or, you know, or founding a company, they wanted to sell a product or service, what would they need to have in budget to effectively develop an ad campaign, you know, and how often would they need to run that campaign? I'm asking kind of personally for myself and for anyone else that may be looking to do some Facebook and Instagram and other maybe social media advertising. What would you recommend for them?
All right. So I'm going to ask you a question before I answer it. Normally I don't do this. Do you want me to answer it as if I was your coach, or do you want me to answer it like I was an agency?
Man, coach me, bro. I'm an athlete, baby.
Okay. So you're, what you're really asking me then is like, what platform can I use to make the most money?
Yeah.
Like when I'm running ads versus like, what's your budget? Because if you spent if your budget was $5,000, mm-hmm. and you made $5,000 in day one, would you stop marketing the rest of the month?
No.
Okay, so you don't have a budget is the true answer. Now, if I was an agency, I'd say, well, you know, what's your cost? What is your average price point? You know, you probably want to spend, you know, anywhere between 2 to 5 times, maybe 10 times your product price point, where you could make a couple sales and get your investment back. That's the agency, so you feel comfortable. So you're going into it like, well, I make a couple sales, it justifies my cost.
Yeah.
But that's dumb. Like, you'd rather, if I'm the real strategy, like, I'd rather fail fast.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't want 2 to 3 sales. I'd rather spend like 10 grand and know it doesn't work and be done than keep paying an agency, making a couple sales, feeling okay, stressing out. Like, it's not, that's not, so that's why I ask you. So
yeah.
So what you do when you think of budget is you need to do what I said earlier in a sense and say, if I had this in front of 10 people, would 3 to 5 of them want more information?
Right.
If the answer is yes, how much money can I put behind it without, you know, going into foreclosure?
Right.
I mean, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it
should be your mindset. Now, granted, I get it. The reality is everybody has a budget, but the mindset in creating it has to change. Because you'll create, I'll give you an example. We're building a new funnel right now for my software company.
Okay.
And we are like, okay, same thing. If this many people got in front of this, how can we get this many percentage of people to buy? Does it have a guarantee? Is there scarcity involved? Mm-hmm. Is it solving a true problem? How easy is it for them to get results right now? You know, how much change are they going to have to do to make this happen?
Right.
So I have to answer all these questions. So what you do in your follow-up, and this is kind of a coach that you said you wanted me to coach you.
Yeah.
Your follow-up is actually overcoming objections and then pushing them back to the product.
Okay.
And what you want to do is you want to organize those objections. So what's the first thing someone might say? So for me, somebody might see me like, is that guy a scam?
Right.
So my first email might want to address, am I a scam or not? And to go by, that might be a credibility. Then, credibility, okay, does this thing actually work?
Right.
So you go through, you list all of your objections down, then you organize them to the best. Now, obviously, not going to be your brain and how they're organized is going to be different maybe than mine.
Right.
But that is what your follow-up is. It's breaking down those objections, showing how your product's fixing it, and pushing them back to the product. Now, when I ask you what's your budget for advertising, you say, okay, if I'm spending 10 grand and 20 people are going through this and these things are getting answered, how many people can I push through that? Because I know that the outcome is 2 to 3 of them are going to buy out of 10.
Right.
Therefore, I'm running a profitable funnel. How many people can I push through?
Facts.
So you should never have a budget mindset, even though I agree that there has. You need to have, before I launch anything, are these particular things set up?
Got it.
In order for me to profit.
Makes sense. So your whole follow-up is, like you said, addressing those objections, which is essentially what's credibility, right? Knowing whether or not you're a scam, are you legit? Break that down. It moves them closer towards buying something. You know, the next email or next communication is something breaking down another objection, or maybe you break down a 2 or 3 in one email. But either way it goes, however you have that structured and set up, it's moving them more towards your product and towards buying something from you. That's brilliant.
Think about how most people's funnels are. Most people are like, buy, you better buy now. It's going away.
Right.
Okay. Its price is going up. Okay. And then you never hear from them. Then it's a different product.
True. True.
That's not that. That's how most, and they wonder why it's not working.
That's awesome, man. Great stuff. I appreciate that. I'll send you a check in the mail, Vince, for that coaching, bro. So last couple of questions I want to ask you, man. So I know, like I mentioned this very early on in the interview, that, you know, just watching your video and seeing what you really stand for and the difference that you want to make. You're all about helping people, man. So, you know, what do you want to have people say about you? Like, when all said and done, like, what do you like to leave people with after they've either coached with you or worked with you as a as an agency or work with you as whatever, in whatever capacity? What do you want to have people say about you when it's all said and done?
You know, it's funny because I don't really, what I focus on is getting better every day.
Okay.
Right. I'm internal, right? And I try to do the best that I can to help individuals based off of the information that I know, right? So I believe that the way other people think about you, if you do those things, will just work its way out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't really focus on what, because to be real with you, I think people spend too much time worrying about what other people think about them.
Yeah.
If you do right, if you help people, if you know your heart, then people are going to have their perception, and then people still might hate you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
for
sure. We've
seen that through history. So
absolutely.
For me, it's more internal. How can I be the best dad? How can I be the best, you know, husband?
Right.
How can I be the best CEO, boss to my employees? And how can I be the best coach and trainer and provide value in my time and resources, the things that I didn't get? Like, I'll be real with you. I couldn't have got this when I got started, which you have, right?
Right.
There was no podcast. Right.
True.
Now that these things are available, how can I give more of myself to get this information? Like, so I'm really happy for podcasts and for these types of things, because
yes,
I think it helps people get to their end goal faster. So overall, I guess if you do want me to step back and think about it, just a guy that just gave freely with nothing, without wanting anything in return.
That's dope. Yeah, that's what I was hearing. And everything you were saying, I'm like, you're just a giver. You're like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else says about what you did. It's about how, you know, how people felt after interacting with you, what value you gave to them and whatever they were up to. That's what I hear. Brilliant stuff, man. So,
you know, I've lost, but I'll leave. I want to say one thing on that, because I think this will hopefully impact people in a different way, because business is great. But everybody that I know that's been close to me, I've lost some close people in my life. My brother, who was my best friend, passed away. I had a mentor that passed away. And the things that made them so special wasn't the fact that they were a mentor or a brother could help me make money or was just a good brother.
Right.
It was that I realized that people don't really remember, you know, all of the things you say or even do.
Right.
They actually remember how you make them feel. Right.
Absolutely.
So the reason why I'm so, like, I was so touched by my brother is the way he made me feel, like the way my mentor, it wasn't even about business.
Yeah.
So if you can leave an impact on people where they just leave feeling better after you go, that should be the goal. That's my goal, to answer your question.
I love it, man. And God, man, we need more of that in the world, brother. So I appreciate you for being the contribution to people, man, and making a difference. Ben, it's been a great conversation, man. Power packed, brother. I appreciate you coming on again and giving me some of your valuable time to talk about digital marketing, man, and share your story with us. How can people follow you? I know I follow you all over social media, but how can people find you? How can they follow you? How can they learn more about eBoov? Where would you recommend them go?
Yeah, definitely go to eBoov.com. That's EBOOV. Entrepreneur Business Owner Online Video is what it stands for. And the best place to follow me is on Instagram. That's like probably the only platform that I really actively look at and am on. I mean, we post on pretty much everything. But Instagram at Vince Reed Live.
Awesome. Dope, man. Vince, have a great day, brother. Again, great talking to you, man. And keep me posted, man, on what's happening with you. Come back and visit us again sometime. And I'll be in touch.
I will. Thank you for having me.
All right, buddy.
Thank you
Take
for
care,
having
man.
Me.
This is Doris Brown's baby boy. We out.